Hello, everyone. This is the Elder's Call, or Legacy Call. Sorry. I'm still trying to break the habit of saying that. The Legacy Call is where we are going. It's open coaching for all of the members of NoBS who have been here for a year or more. So they get to raise their hand. They get to get coached. Anyone can always listen. It's always in the replays. Anyone can attend. We just ask that only the legacy members get coached. This is one of the things that is a bonus for being a legacy member. All right. Let me pull up. If you have any questions, you can always put them in the Q&A. And Coach Mish will be here helping out. There she is. And Lori Knight, you are up first.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good.
So I feel like I have a lot. So I wrote myself a list so that I can keep everything succinct. Been a paid member since 2019, but listened to the free podcast probably for about a year prior to actually like biting the bullet and becoming a member. Okay. So I don't know what my exact starting weight was, but I can tell you I started NoBS paid membership at 287 pounds.
Okay.
Within the first probably 14 to 18 months, I lost 64 pounds.
Okay.
And so I, right at about September of 2021, I was 223 pounds.
Okay.
Now, I was a little nervous about, oh my God, I'm getting so close to Wonderland. It's the 220s that I haven't seen since before my son was born, and he's 27 now. That was kind of one thing weighing on my mind. But then in September of 2021, shit kind of went sideways in my personal life, my marriage. And I had issues with decisions that I had made in my personal life, leading me to then believe that I was not a real NoBS woman. And because of that, I felt like an imposter.
I would love to know what disqualifies you from being a real NoBS woman.
So
I'm just curious what that is.
you actually coached me on this, Corinne, sometime in 2022, because for a year, I kind of let this thought believe that.
Well, let me ask you this though. Do you still believe it?
No.
I don't even want to know. Let's just move on. If we don't believe it, we don't need to talk about it. So what's our current problem though?
So I picked back up. I just want to say after your coaching, and then I spent a week with my NoBS bestie, Tara Sherman, out in Vegas. And that kind of jump-started my recommitment to not just NoBS, but to myself. And so I had gained 15 pounds in that year that I was just kind of letting myself sit in the shitter. But I got back on track. I lost the 15 pounds, although I kept fucking around with the same 5 to 7 pounds. Here's why I'm hoping to get coached or trying to get coached today. I've noticed that every time I hit get very close to that 220 mark,
okay,
something just fucking happens. And
like what?
I'm making the 220 marker mean something, and I'm not quite
you
sure.
You might not be. Unless you can tell me what it is.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not sure. It's just, I know that every time I get close to 220, I start to sabotage. I cheat on the NoBS four basics. I convince
myself.
Like,
what does
myself,
that even mean? What does cheating the four NoBS basics mean?
So bastardizing, fucking around with them.
All right, let me say, if I brought Logan in here and I said, she's bastardizing the thing, he wouldn't know what you mean. So like, explain it to Logan. What does that mean?
So I write a plan almost every day and I assess the plan, but I'm not always 100% honest in my assessment. So I'm lying to myself. I'm kind of not necessarily lying on my assessment, but I feel like I'm eating past enough and then I'm just kind of like, okay, whatever. I ate past enough. It is what it is. It's something I find myself saying all the time. Like,
it is what it is.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you then? Then why do you say that? Why do you like to say, like, when you see that you're not doing something that gets you to what is the number? 221 or 220?
So It's right at the 220. So like,
okay. So like when you get to close to 220,
mm-hmm.
your brain associates, all right, it's like, it's okay. It is what it is. What does it is what it is mean to you?
When I find myself eating off plan, when I find myself eating past
enough. I understand that, but it is what it is. What does that even mean? It is what?
That,
what is?
That's a good question, Corinne. I think it's me willfully making decisions that go against what my better intentions are. Like,
that's
I
what
know.
That means. So like when you say it is what it is, I am willfully going against my own intentions.
Yeah.
Is that what's happening in the moment? Like when you eat
Yeah,
past
because
enough, you're like, it is time to be willful against my intentions. I actually plan to stop it enough, but I've decided from now on I'm willful.
It's not that pinpointed, but I am fully fucking aware that I'm doing it.
Okay,
so I,
so
I will,
that's very
I will
different,
be sitting
though. So you're aware of it, but that doesn't mean you're going against yourself.
I guess
going
that's
against
what it
yourself
feels
is like
like.
No, this is where our brain is like thinking like, it feels like I'm going against myself, but your brain's wrong. That's the story it's telling.
Okay.
The only thing that's happening is that when you get to 220, close to 220, when you eat past enough, are you choosing to do it or is it happening?
No, I'm fully fucking aware. I'm choosing.
Okay. So
and
I'm
then I'm like,
very,
oh, well, fuck it.
Okay. So it isn't what it is. It's not being willful. You're going into fuck it mode.
Well,
why are we saying
I'm
fuck
talking
it in that
myself.
Moment?
That's the thing. I don't understand. Like, I'm sitting in a meal and I'm like, I'm satisfied. Let me pack the shit up, set it aside or whatever. And then I sit there and I'm looking at my plate like, but I want some more. Okay, fuck it. This is just what I'm going to do.
Okay. Why?
And I don't know why. Because
I'm
also in the moment telling myself, what the fuck are you doing, Lori? Like, you know better than this. You've been doing this shit for so long. Like,
oh, so I know why you're doing fuck it mode.
Why?
Because I'm going to guess when you're in the 240s and 230s, you're not berating yourself. You're not like, well, thank God you stopped it enough because you're such a fucking loser. Like, you've been in this program long enough. Good for you. When you're there and it's time to stop it enough, you're probably talking to yourself one way. But when it's close to 220 and you're like, no, fuck it, whatever. You're like, oh my God, bitch, you should know better. Like, wah, wah, wah. Well, I would eat too if somebody was yelling at me like a shrill.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. And not to like.
So it has nothing to do with 220.
Okay, I was gonna say not to take us on a tangent, but there are also like a lot of really stressful things happening in my life right now. My 80-year-old mother is diagnosed with Alzheimer's dementia. Last week, she fell and broke a hip. My twin sister, who's also an OBS1, and I are her primary caregivers. And so I feel like I never get a break. I work all week long. I take my mom on the weekends. My sister has her during the week. And she's working and, you know, balancing her, you know, crazy fucked up life. So I feel like
I agree.
Things
you
are
aren't
just
getting
crazy.
A break. It's like you're taking care of your mom. And then when you're eating, you're yelling at yourself. You're never getting a break.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
What's the part we can control?
What goes in my mouth?
The yelling.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what can go in your mouth. The only reason why you're eating extra is because you're yelling at yourself.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
On the way from 287 to 250, did you ever have a moment where you were just like wanting to eat?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. Did you yell at yourself? What'd you do?
I just reminded myself of what my goal was. Thought
Oh,
about
so
my
you cut yourself.
whys.
So you gave yourself a break.
Yeah.
There's no way you're going to be able to like have the stress of your mom and doing all of that and not turn to eating if you're going to be yelling at yourself while you're eating. If you're not going to be willing to be compassionate with yourself, like, I know you want enough. I know you want to eat more. I know you want to go into fuck it mode. It's tough right now. Taking care of mom is hard.
Yeah.
If you can't do that, then I can't help you. And I'm being dead serious, because if the biggest thing is if your thought right now is I never get a break, and we can't get you to give yourself a break in your own head, and we can't solve anything.
And 220 has nothing to do with it. Take care of
your mom, unless you're gonna turn your mom out on the street. You know, I mean, we can get a break that way, but you kind of look like the kind of person who's not doing that to their mother.
Right. Hopefully, yeah. Okay. And so it's really not anything about the 220. It just so happens to be that that's what the scale says currently. Like, and I'm just trying to find.
You're trying to figure out a reason for it. Like, it's like you get close to 220. You have a belief that 220 is some kind of like time when it all changes. Y'all, a number doesn't change things. Now, if you're not aware of how you're talking to yourself, like, you're very aware of what you're doing, but for some reason you've decided that at 220, it's time to be an asshole instead of being a cheerleader.
Oh God. Yeah.
We don't even have to know why you do it. All we have to know is, that's always been the problem. I wasn't really like, I was just aware that this was a time in my weight loss that it seems to, I go back. But like saying, like, I'm just willfully going against myself and I'm just blah, 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 blah. And 220 is a problem. Well, yeah, you're going to be looking for all kinds of shit. And the first time you want to go into fuck it mode, it's like, see? And now you want to go into fuck it mode on top. You didn't act that way. Like, God damn, yeah. I'd be like, I'd probably be like, somebody nachos stat. Can you get them in an IV? That'd be even better.
Yes. That's making a lot of sense. Yeah.
So what are we going to do now?
So, you know, I've been in this program for a long time and I know it's successful. I know it's my answer. I know I can maintain like a boss because I've done that for a long ass time now. I really believe the journaling is like, and I don't know, that could be another, but I think journaling is really what I need to do. I'm going to be attending virtual camp with my bestie Tara, because I know that's probably my next step. It's a little bit scary. I've got my own issues with journaling.
What is something totally what's separate. Scary? Let's tackle that real quick. What is scary? Because I don't want you walking in like, right now, 220 is scary. It's like, oh my God, and now we're going to journal? That's scary. What is so scary about, like, is it the camp?
No, so it's kind of a joke between all of my account. So I'm in two different accountability teams. So shout out to the Camp House Girls out in Central Texas, and then Tara Sherman, who's my bestie out in Vegas. I've had conversations with all of my accountability folks. I have pushed against the journaling for a long time. Part of it is just worried about what I'm gonna uncover.
What's working. What do you think is you're going to uncover? Like, what do you think's down in there? You don't have to go. We're not going to uncover it today. I just want to know what you think's down in there.
Mostly judgments against myself about choosing to stay with my husband, who's a partner who has not always been easy to love. That's simplifying it.
So you're afraid you're going to find judgment
that I don't like her.
That you don't like the version of you that chooses to stay. Is that what you're saying?
Yep. 100%.
Okay. Let's just pretend you don't like her. What's scary about that?
Because I did stay and I'm still in it. And
But that's not scary. Why do you not like her? Like, well, she stayed. Mm-hmm. Okay. But why is that a problem?
Did she make the right choices for me? Am I in a situation that I shouldn't be in or don't deserve to be in? Yeah.
You're in the situation, so there's no shouldn't be. That's like That'd be like saying, oh shit, I shouldn't be on this call. Oh, wait a minute, I am.
Yeah. I guess ultimately it's, am I making the decisions for my best self, the best version of myself? And it, what if I find out that I'm not?
But honey, you don't just find out that you weren't your best self. Like, that's like never can happen. Like, you could find out you want something different, but here's what we're not doing at camp. We're not going to look at decisions and be like, oh, now I get another big pile of stuff to judge myself on. We're going to learn how to not do that. Cause that's why you stay in a situation like, this is why y'all stay in these situations where you're always on it. I'm going to alert the media for you.
Okay.
All these fears you have, they're already running around underneath.
Yes.
The problem is not that you're afraid you're going to find out that you made the wrong decision. What you're afraid of is that you'll look at all of it and think, I want something different.
That's huge. Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you the good news. At camp, we'll work through it. You'll get, if you decide, I do want something different, but I'm not ready to leave, I'll teach you how to love yourself through it. I'll teach you how to say, like, you know, staying is the best decision. There's a part of me that doesn't want to be here, but there's also a bigger part of me that just wants to stay. Because I'm afraid, maybe you're afraid to go out on your own, whatever that is, afraid of hurting him, whatever your thing, your kids, whatever it is, we'll learn to love the reason. Oof. Camp is about learning how to like just understand what it is we truly want and not judge ourselves for it. And also to decide what we really want and know that we never have to do anything we don't ultimately want. So like if you go to camp and you decide like, you know, here's what I've looked at. I had the opportunity to leave and I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make that story right for you. We're not going to make it wrong. You might want to say like, and I should have left. And it's like, no, you stayed. And in that moment, you made the best decision you could given what you had. And now we look at this situation and we make the best decision we can. And sometimes we're like, sometimes we want different things and we're still not ready to go get them. Mm-hmm. So we reconcile that in a way that allows us to have love and compassion for ourselves. And if we decide like, no, I really do want to leave and this is going to be really hard, then we work on figuring out how to have courage and how to be there for ourselves through that too. Like, this is what camp's really about, y'all. It's not, I know I keep saying this, but journaling is not about figuring, like finding the scary shit so that you can judge yourself and live in the eternal bog of stench.
Yeah.
It's more about figuring these things out and figuring out how to make yourself right and make yourself like be filled with compassion and understanding and love for yourself so that you can make better decisions today. Because if I had to guess, when it comes to this marriage, you're not just sitting there all like, as they say, fat, dumb, and happy.
Right.
You're probably sitting there like, oh my God, I hope I don't figure out what I really want because it could be really bad. That's probably what you do most of the time. Let me just try to like be like, let me eat. Let me do something to make this okay. And that never feels good either. That's pretty anxiety driving all the time.
Absolutely. So my, to answer your question, my next step is to give myself some grace and to love and appreciate where I am and who I am in this moment.
Mm-hmm. And to know that this is a hard time of life. You are taking care of your mother. You are going into meals feeling like you're not getting a break.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important more than ever that when it's time to stop eating, that you don't berate yourself.
Okay.
That you don't like freak out when you want to just say fuck it and be like, I know. But continuing to eat seems like such a good option when you're fucking tired.
Yes.
And I'm not going to do it. And that's okay. I'm just really fucking wore out, worried about my mother. My bandwidth is stretched a little too thin. And a few more bites or another helping or whatever it is I'm doing ain't solving for all that.
Yep.
And that's a very different conversation than what you're having right now. You're just sitting there cranking up the pressure even more.
Yep.
It's like, yeah, you're breaking. And I would too.
Damn good. I'm just gonna drop this real quick.
I love that. I need one of the, I need an F. How do I not have an F-bomb in my life?
You know what, Corinne? I will send you one. So
you really want to send me one, you write into support and say, Corinne said she needs this because she doesn't know what the fuck she's done her entire life to fail so hard that she didn't get one of these.
I mean, so I had a friend make a bunch of these when at your last camp, my accountability group, Camp House Girls. We were a group of five who just got together, got an Airbnb, and we did camp together. And I gifted everybody an F-bomb. So I will send you one for sure.
Yeah. Like you tell them, like literally tell Vern or my mother, address it to Vern or my mother and tell them Corinne wants one. She was on the call. Vern's probably here. Half the time Vern's on these calls, but they will give you my personal address. I want it right there on that front porch.
Okay. You got it. You got it.
I Absolutely. Love you, Lori.
I love me too now, Corinne.
All righty.
So, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
No shade to everybody else who's been coached today, because I've only been coaching since 8:30 this morning, but that was the best call of the day. The rest of you should be bearing fuck bomb gifts. Eva. Oh my God, that is amazing. Her friend needs to like sell those like at, well, probably not the hall. I was going to say the Hallmark store. This just shows you how casually I like to use the word fuck. Then I'm like, Hallmark would love to carry this. Maybe it's Spencer Gifts. Do they even have Spencer's anymore? My God, I'm just dating myself. I'm sure there's a place where you could sell them. Etsy. Etsy is the answer for everything. All right, Eva, let's get you unmuted. Get that video started.
Video. Yes,
they still sell them. Oh yeah, Amazon would be great.
I'm here. Hello. Geez, this is my first coaching call, so I'm a little nervous. Sorry.
That's amazing. All right. What are we gonna work on?
Well, I kind of need help focusing on something. I joined PMP back in, let's see, in 2018. I reached my goal. Like, it took 2 years. I lost over 100 pounds.
Good for you, Eva.
Yeah, I kept it off for about a year. And then since then, I've been slowly creeping back up. Now I've got 30 pounds I want to lose. And
okay,
I
so
just.
All we need to do is lose 30. I mean, if you've already lost 100, 30 is going to seem easy. So we just need to lose 30 pounds.
That's what I thought. But I've been working on this for well over a year now. And I just can't seem to stop eating anymore. It's like I just keep going past full.
Is there
what I'm calling
meal that this happens at? Is it at every meal? Is it?
It's pretty much just anxiety over eating completely at all. And
so it's every meal.
Pretty much, yeah.
So
as soon as I start
breakfast,
eating,
lunch, and dinner.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me about it. Like, let's go to like. Did you overeat this morning?
No, today I'm having a good day. Yesterday
it doesn't mean
was...
you're having a good day. Like,
okay.
Stop saying that. Like all of you, when you overeat, it's not a bad day. And when you eat on plan, it's not a good day. You know why?
Why?
Because if you say today was a good day because of your eating, that implies that if you overeat, that you're bad. You are not good or bad based on your eating. And your day, for fuck sure, your day is not good or bad based on what you put in your mouth. Like, this is why, like, I want this for you. Because I have done this to myself way back in the past. I have had days where my husband says, I love you, or like surprisingly kisses me. And then, you know, like, and then Logan, when he was littler, he'd have like a day where he didn't have a fit and stuff. And I would have a day where I overate. And the day got indexed based on if I had a Snicker or went to McDonald's, but my day was not indexed on my actual human experiences. And when I did that, I didn't realize how much joy and pleasure, gratitude, and appreciation for life I was missing out on, simply because everything hung in the balance of what I ate and what I weighed.
Right.
And I don't want that.
I don't want that for me either, but I think that is where I am. No, I
so
do
I would
think
just
so.
Say I was either on plan or I was off, because you can have an off plan day and still have a fucking great life.
Yes. Yes. My life is overall very good. So,
so we're not going to say that no more, just so Corinne doesn't have to worry that you're sitting around in the, like the bog of eternal stench.
Okay. But that, yeah, no, I think that's a big piece of it. 'Cause I have good, bad around all kinds of foods. Like yesterday we had a little get together. It was a brunch, and my husband's a caterer. He does lots of food. So this big spread of food. And in the morning I sat down, I planned really well. I thought about it. I knew what was going to be there. I planned realistically.
Okay, great.
But I went way past full. And then I kept like grabbing all day long, like all day, every time.
Why do you think you kept grabbing all day?
I was, maybe because I thought I went past full when we sat down to eat.
Okay, so let's go.
Not really sure.
Well, let's get real specific. So you were at the brunch.
Yeah, we were sitting.
Did you eat the foods that you planned at brunch?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
So you did a really good job. And then, but the only thing that happened was you ate to full. Past full.
I kept going.
I ate past full. Okay, perfect. So we got like we actually did really well. We just ate past full. You were able to like plan realistically. Like you decided to wake up and make a plan no matter what. You went in, you were eating what you actually said you would, and then you ate past full. Then what did you think about that? Because I'm describing it quite delightful. I'm describing it as if you were a hero.
Yeah, no, I don't describe it that way, because as I'm sitting there, so we were sitting there and everybody's talking and we're sitting in front of the food, all the food's on the table. Yeah. And I
Which
kept
is awesome. Except for you're like, you know, all the food was on the table.
Well, that's it. I can't control myself. And, I can sometimes.
Okay. So that's already a better thought. But let me ask you this. Yeah. Let's say I came to the dinner of the brunch. Like you'd made your plan. All these things was going to happen. And your right before the meal begins, your husband's like, surprise guest, Eva, you're going to shit your pants. And he's like, you know that extra chair? The queen has arrived. And I come in, I'm like, man, I didn't even make a plan. What'd you plan? I'm gonna eat what you did. What you planned? And you're like, I got you covered, Queenie. Like, check this out. I woke up this morning. I knew what I was doing. Then we're going to eat with all the food laying there. How full do you think you would have gotten?
I don't know.
I want you to really think about this. If I'm sitting there, like right next to you, eating bite for bite, like I can only eat what you eat because I didn't bring a plan, Eva.
Yeah, I would have eaten less too.
Oh! Because,
yeah.
You mean the food wouldn't have controlled you? What? I thought food had magical powers, Eva. I guess I'm wrong. Why would you have ate differently if I was sitting next to you?
Because I would have been more conscious about not eating too much.
Yeah, you know, this is what you would have been doing. Thinking food's hard. Was food's really hard? You know what? It's really hard to say, you know, that food's sitting there. It's really hard. I have no control. You would never have thought for a second with me sitting there. You would not have allowed yourself to sit there and believe that you have no control over food. Suddenly you would have believed, oh, I better control myself. The queen's right there. She's going to see everything I do.
Right.
So that means that food literally doesn't control you. You have thoughts about it and you're out of control with your thinking.
Right. Okay. Right. Because I go into almost every meal like with major high anxiety because I'm worried I can't control myself over food.
Yeah. Rather than sitting there thinking like, oh my God, if Corinne was sitting here, like somebody said, light bulb moment. To sit down and eat like Corinne was sitting with me at the table. Because for some of you, and I know that sounds kind of silly, but if that works for some of you, then just imagine, like, you know, if Corinne was sitting here, I don't think I'd lose control. I think somehow I'd muster up some fucking thoughts that said, hey, let's just do this.
Yeah, that's good. I'm going to use that.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, I hear myself arguing with me all the time that, you know, you really don't want that bite of food and you really don't want that. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
I want to poke holes in that.
Okay.
I think I know why it's a crapshoot on that thought. Because it's a lie. You really don't want it.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it's like you're just... That would be like me sitting in the bar and Barfly Larry is next to me eating fried pickles and pretzel bites and me going, well, you know, you really don't want that, Corinne. I'm like, hell, I don't. That shit looks tasty. It absolutely looks delicious. I bet Larry's really enjoying it. And Larry's over there like, you want some, Corinne? Because Larry's like a big ass. He's a golden retriever. He would share anything. So I don't like to tell myself stuff that's not true. Like, I like to tell myself, I know you want it. Let's just not have it. And I know it's hard. And it's probably like for the next 10 to 15 minutes until that food's gone, it's going to feel like you want it. But it's not because the food's controlling it. It's because you're thinking about it. And when you see food and it smells good, and it's right there, and it happens to be your favorite. Yeah, sometimes sitting around that shit actually is hard. But it doesn't mean I have to eat it. Like, I think sometimes y'all need to have like a realistic conversation with yourselves. Y'all do so much trying to convince yourself of some falsehood and then wonder why it doesn't work.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
So let me ask you this. So let's go to the next thing. So we already decided, and I want you to tell me, do you see now that it feels like food controls you, but in reality, it doesn't? It's just hard to say no sometimes. How does that feel? Ooh.
Yes, I agree with that. Yes.
Okay.
Because yes, I have control of my hand and what goes in my mouth.
Yeah. It just sometimes feels really hard. And we really want it. Sometimes urges are bigger than others.
Right.
Like, and I think that's the kind of like conversation you might need to be having, because I think a lot of yours is this, like, it's a black and white thing. Like, you know, you can't control yourself around food. You're good or you're bad. It's a good day or it's a bad day. Like, there's no gray. And the gray is where we really want to be because it's very truthful. It like has a lot of understanding in it, but it doesn't feel like super great, but it also doesn't feel super bad. It just feels really like, yeah, okay, I understand. And there's a lot of relief in understanding.
Right. Because
what I'm hearing is arguing. And right. Arguing is not relieving. Arguing just turns up the anxiety. Okay, so right. Let's okay. Pretend that you did, like, well, we don't have to pretend. You did overeat. Mm-hmm. And now we're going into the next moment where you're reflecting back. Like, it's your oh shit moment. Like, oh, I overate. What is your story about eating past full?
Then I think the next step is to go into, see, you can't maintain, you've gained 30 pounds, you're just going to keep going. And
yeah, so then we drag ourselves down.
Right.
And that is probably taking you into fuck it land for the rest
yes.
of it. This is why we're trying, like, we're literally eating the rest of the day to escape our judgments.
Right. That's it in a nutshell.
Okay. So this is why I was telling you the 30 pounds is actually going to be super simple. You don't have to do anything extraordinary. You literally just have to do the basics.
Right.
And one of the, like, it's not, it's a sub basic, which is thou shalt not fuck it eat all day just because you screwed up. It's one of our commandments. I should come up okay. with what the nobiest commandments would be. Yeah. All the thou shalts.
Right.
But I want you to think about this. If the only, like, this whole 30 pounds, if the only thing that had happened the last, has it been a year? Did you say the last year?
A little over a year, yeah.
Okay. Let's just pretend in the last year, the only thing that happened was sometimes you ate past full, but you never had a fuck it eat after eating past full. What do you think would have happened?
I would have gained 10 pounds instead of 30.
Okay. So we already know that you could probably lose 20 right now if you just don't blow out the other three tires of the car when one gets a flat.
Right.
If we're just like, okay, I overate. I am very willing to figure this out. Sometimes I'm really disappointed about it. But the version of me that loses weight, she learns. She's not beating herself up. The version of me who figures out this 30 pounds, like, this doesn't mean I can't keep my weight off. An overeat doesn't mean I can't keep my weight off. Overeating over an overeat makes it really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth.
True, true. All right.
So what if just for the next couple weeks, did you say you were in an accountability group?
No, that's...
You're not. Okay, that's okay. You don't have to be in, like, literally you do not have to be in one. I'm just trying to figure out, do you post anywhere?
No. No, I've been kind of a lone ranger for the whole time.
Do you like being a lone ranger?
Not really.
Okay, well, then we can, like, solve that quite easily. Would you like an accountability group?
You know, I was on the page yesterday to, and I almost clicked the button, but for some reason that's very hard for me.
Why?
I think I'm afraid of people seeing me. I feel like there's, you know, I know we're all no BS women and we all are dealing with the same issues. So I shouldn't be embarrassed about anything, but I guess I am.
Okay. Just know that about you. And just, I want you to commit to me right now. Just tell me the answer to this. Is your embarrassment about being seen worth not getting help and being alone?
No.
Okay, then let's just be embarrassed and get a group instead of feeling alone and afraid people will see you.
Okay.
Like, I'm not going to try to make you feel better about it. I think you already know it's something you need. Otherwise, you wouldn't even have been on the page yesterday.
Yes.
So
yes,
one
I've
of the
been.
Things that yeah. I always, well, I was just going to say, one of the things I always suggest to people is just like, then just be embarrassed until you realize it's not that bad.
Right.
Because I'd much rather you be embarrassed than be feeling sad and lonely.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's a, I mean, I might find out it's a great thing.
You might. And you may even find out it's not. And at least you'll know.
Right.
Be like, oh gosh, these bitches, all they want to do is like text and talk. And nah, I'm not up for that. Or maybe they'll be like, they don't want to talk enough. Whatever it is. One thing I would suggest is, are you over 55?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you ever post in the 55 plus group?
No.
Do you ever go in there and visit it?
Occasionally. I don't go on Facebook that much, but occasionally.
Okay. Well, the only reason I was going to say is, well, you can do this anyway. You could go to the accountability page and sign up and just let Dina know that you're like, would you feel more comfortable being around a group that was more your age?
I would think so, just because they would understand more. We'd be more the same.
Yeah. I would just tell her that you would like a group that was more 55 plus. The only reason I was asking about the Facebook group is you could go in there and post that you were looking for an accountability group. Sometimes the accountability groups have openings, like they're looking for someone. And so you can actually get into one that's already kind of a well-oiled machine.
Oh.
And you could find a group that's more your like age demographic and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also, when you fill out, when you request a group, you can say, I'm looking for, you know, a group that's 55 plus, you know, this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll do our best to pair you or put you into a group like that. But because the only reason why I'm suggesting you go into the 55 plus group is because you've been here a while.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people who are requesting an accountability group are brand new to the program, which could be delightful for you because you would be an inspiration. You are down 70 pounds. You're working on 30. Like, it could be, sometimes that's very helpful. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you don't want to answer a bunch of newbie questions and, you know, that kind of thing. So you just figure out what feels like it would be better for you with all these options. Like, is there anyone that feels better to you than the other?
I'd probably actually go on the accountability, you know, put in a form through your website rather than going through Facebook.
Okay. Then just do that. And just tell Dina, because I know that she won an accountability group forms. We reach back out in a couple weeks to see how it's going and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But just let her know you've been here a while and that you're looking for this. And then you decide, like, you could even say, I don't know if I really want newbies. If you are like, I would love to have newbies, it doesn't matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
You can let her know that too. Okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Great.
All right. Be I'll embarrassed. Get it done.
I'm going to have the little Corinne on my shoulder every time I eat.
Yes. Little Corinne. We should get like little Corinnes made where y'all can just take, you can just take like a little action figure and y'all can just take me around places. But like, man, that bitch is always watching me eat. Like,
yeah, that'd be awesome. All right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Although, if y'all had little mini Corinnes everywhere, your family would think we have literally turned into a cult and flipped our collective wigs. Like, she has a doll now. Although it would be hilarious. Cindy. I'm telling you. Do y'all know we did do Corinne on the Shelf 1 year? We gave y'all a cutout to put in your house during the holidays. Niche, you need to tell Yasmin for us to think about doing that. I bet we still have it, like somewhere saved. We should think about adding that to, of course, here I am dropping something. We're supposed to be rolling this shit out next week. But if they could find it and somehow get it on the course page, that would be hilarious. We did it one year. We had Crane on the shelf, and I was like in an elf outfit, and I was like, people were posting me everywhere. All right, Cindy, what are we coaching on?
Okay, this is kind of silly, but so I've got my swag, super excited about camp.
All right.
And I'm also like, part of it is thinking, well, camp is going to be magical. So I should wait to start doing any of the journaling stuff until I've been through camp.
It's okay. And it could be better for you. I mean, I'm going to tell you, like you're saying is like, oh my God, Corinne, I'm fixing to tell you some shame.
Well, it's like, oh, for God's sakes, just start it. Then it's like, no, I want to wait for camp.
Which one feels more fun for you?
Camp, for sure.
Oh, man. So I had to, like, yesterday I had a photo shoot, and they wanted me to, for some reason, be using that stupid book. And I was like, ugh. You should have seen me, Cindy. I was like, I don't want to write in this book. And, like, I had, like, all the shitty. And I was like, oh, my God, it's your own fucking book. And you're just, like, bitching that you're going to need to pretend to be writing in it for 5 minutes. So the reason why I tell you that story is I think a lot of y'all get so hung up that there must be a right way to do this, everything. It's like, no. If it would be more fun to wait until after camp because you're like, I'm probably going to learn some shit and maybe I would journal differently, then I would say baller choice. If you're just like, maybe I should start doing this now. This would be more helpful and blah, 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 blah. Then just start now.
Well, you kind of want to make sure you're doing it right, you know.
Right. Do you know what's so funny, though? You will do it right no matter what you choose. You think that right comes outside of you. And I think right is what you decide to do based on what would feel fun, what would feel good. That's the right thing to do. What if I had said, no, you should start it right now. And it goes against you wanting like have fun and learn more. You would probably do it out of obligation, but it wouldn't feel right. You'd probably be sitting there doing it every day going, I wonder if I'm doing this wrong. I don't know what I'm going to learn at camp. That would not be right.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Y'all wear me out. Oh my God. Everything is such a, like, it's no wonder we eat. We're worried about everything, even if we're going to start the camp book. All right, exactly. Cindy, what are we actually coaching on? I'm sure it's not over the workbook.
No, actually, it kind of was about the workbook. But part of it is just, I've been listening to calls all day today, and you have just been on fire. So I'm super pumped to go back and review some of the stuff I've been writing down and everything. So, yeah, no, it's a matter of, it's the usual for a legacy member is that I've been around for a long time. I know what I should be doing. And sometimes I do it and sometimes I don't. And I really do think journaling is going to, which I have not done a lot of. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be a really eye-opening thing. It's something I've resisted. So I'm not looking at camp being a magic bullet because I know there is no magic bullet, but I do think that the journaling will be important. So it was just kind of like, do
but
I jump
do
the gun or do I wait?
I'm bringing my wand.
Good. This is the only one I have. So yeah, no, I was just kind of thinking about that. I know it's silly, but it was just a little bit of like this feeling of like, oh, I should start now or I shouldn't start now, or just thinking about doing the program right, you know.
Well, this is the thing. Here's what I would love for you to work on between now and camp. Every time your brain goes like, I should do this, I should do that, I want you to do the simple thing that I did for you. And I want you to just ask yourself, what would feel right now for me? What would feel fun? What feels like the right answer? And then you're going to pick something. And your brain is going to be like, oh my God, I think you're wrong. And I want you to say like, look, we are going with our gut for a few weeks. And it's going to be scary. And it's probably going to also show me that I'm way overthinking things. And then I can loosen up a little bit around this whole story that there's these right ways. Because if there's really no right way, Then you just start trying things faster and you get to where you want to go faster. But when we're always looking for the right way, there's a lot of times where it's just like sitting in park. We're getting nowhere.
And I like that you mentioned fun, because like fun is one of my core values. So I like that. It's right and fun. Just do it.
Yeah. And just keep reminding myself. Like, and I do this in Project U a lot. So I'll kind of tell you about it here. Is a lot of times when they have things that they're struggling with, I have them take a couple of deep breaths. And then like even with the journaling, I would have just said it two ways. I would have had you just sit, take a deep breath, and you would pay attention to your body. So when I say that, because I'm going to ask you, like, I would ask you, now, how does that, like, what changed in your body? The physical part. So pay attention like to your jaws and your eyes, your throat, your chest, all this other stuff. And I would have said, start journaling today. Today is the right time. And then you would have checked in and you would have probably felt maybe a little, like maybe your shoulders would have rounded. You might have felt a little tightness in your chest. Sometimes people will say like, oh, that just makes my throat even just close up just a little, like little things, or I clenched my teeth, like stuff like that. And it's like, okay, so reset, take another deep breath. And I would have said, after camp is the best time for me to start journaling. And you would have said, oh, well, I don't know. My shoulders kind of relaxed. Like everything kind of feels loose. That's your body's wisdom. So this is really interesting for y'all as legacy members. Your body holds the wisdom of your unconscious thinking. This is why so often we feel agitated or like, I don't know what happened. I just got angry. I just got agitated. I just felt this way, but I don't know why. Because the body is the communicator of what's unconsciously going on. And so that's why it's really important to understand not only just what our thinking is, but what are our feelings? What is our body doing? We're doing a lot of that at camp. So if you're just like, what is this witchery you talk about? The witchery will be dispelled at camp, you know, with my wand. But that's how we start kind of getting more in tune all the way around. So sometimes we really know our shitty thinking. It's loud, it's clear, it's all this other stuff. Then sometimes we just kind of intuitively know something's wrong or something feels right or whatever. And I can't tell you why. And that's because the body accesses, like, it not only is accessing your conscious thinking, but it is like the indicator of what's unconsciously going on for you. So a lot of times when we notice it in our body, when we identify it, then we can kind of decide like, this feels right to me, this feels wrong to me. And if it feels wrong, I don't want to do that. I don't necessarily know why, but I'm going to trust myself on this. And for a lot of us, when we have been told there's right ways and wrong ways all of our life, that can be overwhelming. It can feel scary. It can feel like untethered, unmoored. And so what we want to do is we just want to be like, and that's okay. I'm getting used to like loosening the reins on there needing to be a rule for me to follow around every little thing I do. I'm going to now start deciding I operate by my own rules, by my own set of things. Okay.
Sounds good. I'm going to wait for camp.
All right. It's going to be a good one. I'm teaching this is almost everything is brand new. There's two lessons. I'm live teaching the entire time, except for three lessons. We'll watch a video, and they are past videos that we have used at different times where we're going to watch the video so we can coach on that in a new way. But all the other stuff is just live teach the whole time. Like, I'll be hoarse by the end of that camp. I just know it.
Thanks, Corinne.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Christy, you're last. Where'd you go, Christy? Is it pulling you up? Oh, there you go. Hang on. Let me try it again, Christy. There we go. All right. Let's get you unmuted, get your camera started.
Can you see me?
Yes.
I'm like pulling over. I apologize.
Oh, you're okay.
I had this feeling you were going to call on me. I can't believe you called me.
That's all right.
Thank you. I'll take a deep breath. First of all, I've been with you since January 2000, and I'm such a changed woman. Thank you so much for all that you teach and do. Yeah. And I also get private coaching from a woman who's gone through your advanced training. I mean, it's just been changed my life. So.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad you found one of the advanced coaches that took my training. That's cool. Who is it?
Awesome. Daphne Walters.
Oh my God, I love Daphne. Please tell her I said hello. I love, and awesome. She is just beautiful too. Like, she is
so gorgeous.
She is one gorgeous lady. Yes.
Well, it's so fun because I'm super tall. She's super tall. So it's like, you know, it's just these fun things.
Oh, yeah.
So you've actually coached me on this before, like several years ago. I have a dairy allergy.
Okay.
And, I've been very good at staying strict. So what happens is, can you see me? Sorry.
Can you turn your camera off and see if it actually makes your connection better?
How do I do that?
There you go. Now let's see if we can hear you better, cause you're cutting in and out real bad.
Okay. Is that better?
I think it's going to be better. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, essentially I can have dairy, where it's not anaphylactic, but I will say that at times, I do get itchy, in my throat. I've had to take Benadryl. So, I mean, it does get worse. My doctor wants me to carry an EpiPen. Like, so I've never had an anaphylactic, but then like last night, for instance, I was out on a girls' weekend and I just had a lot of rich food, I think, throughout the whole day. And I don't know that I had dairy. I didn't intentionally have dairy, but I just like, I'm so sorry to say this, but threw up all my food. And, okay. But my whole point in bringing all that up is, I still like my binge foods. I'm in Jane's program and everything. I have a long history of binging. It will be on the forbidden dairy foods, the chocolate, all that. It's just, I, even though I have what seems to be something, if I have dairy, it's a long-term serious thing that happens to me. I worry that someday I'll be diagnosed with esophageal cancer. And so it sounds crazy that I would even think to have dairy, but it's
think it sounds crazy? Obviously it tastes good, correct?
Yes.
I mean, it's not like you're binging on broccoli.
That's right. That's right. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So one level of suffering that we're having right now is judging that you eat this.
That
makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you're going to binge and stuff, it's going to definitely be on things that you like and you happen to like these foods. Just because something has unintended health consequences doesn't mean that it's easy to say no to it.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. That does make a lot of sense. I guess I tend to eat I love it how I feel when I eat more clean. And I heard you talking about Toscarino the other day. I mean, like I lost weight by her. I followed all her things. I have all her books. I've actually thrown away a lot of her books lately, even though she, that's kind of like how I do enjoy eating. But then I binge, and then I have
Right, because
the,
you, but here's the thing, Christy. You enjoy eating that way. Have you ever posed it this way to yourself? I enjoy eating like healthfully for me. I enjoy these foods too.
Have I ever posted it?
Have you ever like posed it that way to yourself? Or do
Oh,
you
post
say,
it.
like, I really like eating clean and it's so much better and blah, 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 blah for me. And here I am binging on this shit.
That's what I say to myself.
How does that feel?
Definitely.
Like, when you have to think about the feeling that that creates, what does that create for you?
Okay, so the feeling it creates is definitely there's this darkness, there's this closet, there's this, like, I sometimes have the key to the closet, sometimes I have to find the mystery key. I mean, it's just like this drama, this
It's
darkness and kind of
dramatic.
mystery. Yes,
Very
very dramatic.
dramatic. Now, let me ask you this. When
Yes.
I say, like I really like eating clean and that way that eating healthy feels really good, but I also like I like dairy. I like those
Yeah.
foods too. How does that feel?
Yeah, that feels very neutral.
Yeah, because it is.
Yeah.
It's just telling the truth.
Okay.
The other way is telling the
Yeah.
shame. One is telling the
Absolutely.
shame, and one is telling the truth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've never thought of that. Well, I probably have thought of that. Daphne's very,
Well,
very
like
good.
I think, well, this is the reason why I don't like clean eating. Not I'm all for,
Yeah.
trust me, I'm all for y'all eating some healthy foods. Like it's not like I'm saying like, burn lettuce, at the stake. It's
Yes.
more about when, if you even think about the terminology of eating clean and so much that's around healthy foods, it gives us this air, and it was kind of like what I was coaching earlier on, that it is the morally superior way to eat. It's like I shouldn't even like these foods because these are the healthy ones, and like I even feel better on them. And these are the ones that would make me live a long time. And these, my scourge foods, like the dairy,
Yes,
blah, blah,
yes.
blah. And like when you do that, you put yourself into a situation that, like, if you see chocolate or you see something you love, now you're like, here I am looking at sinful foods. And here I am. I'm even more bad because like I even like them. And I shouldn't because I have health issues.
Oh, this is so helpful, Corinne. I guess the thing is that I really should not have dairy. Now, I've been allowing myself, well, see, even my language is so funky, but allowing myself, but like I, at this girls' weekend, we went to this candy shop and I bought some candy and I bought candy and it was all non-dairy and it was stuff that I enjoy to eat. And the girls were like, oh my gosh, you have such a sweet tooth, because I was enjoying it and I liked it and I was eating it. And they thought I bought it for my kids, but I actually bought it for me and I did not binge on it. I was just enjoying it and I didn't overeat. But that's, I liked that. But
Yeah.
I still want the dairy. Like they had the whoopie pies and the dairy. You know what I mean? Like I,
Well, yeah.
yeah. So,
Like, I'm never going. I promise you, Christy, there's not one Mexican restaurant in the world that I'm going to that I'm not going to look to see what kind of nachos they have to offer.
okay. Yeah.
But
I know
I'm
your love of
also,
nacho.
yes, I'm a not, I love nachos like you love the dairy. So much
Okay.
so that
Yeah.
we have bought an expensive machine for our restaurant called the Turbo Chef to make sure that we can make nachos my style. And I don't give a shit if anybody orders them but me. We will have them on the menu.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah. So, but let me tell you,
Yeah.
I own a restaurant, I own a sports bar.
Yeah.
And we're going after this. We go frequently. We have to go frequently. I mean, you can't own a restaurant and never visit the joint and expect to ever for it to run well.
Right.
So sometimes I'm going to go to that sports bar and I'm going to really want nachos and think they are delicious and all this other stuff, but know that I can't eat them every time I go. Like, it would not be good. Number one, it ain't going to be good for my colon to become a nacho diet. But let's just all say I had enough IBS issues last week to know there's a line. Number two, I gain weight when I eat nachos all the time. If I eat nachos when I'm really going to enjoy them and I plan for them, I'm fine. When I eat nachos every single time I want them, I eat nachos every time I get tempted. If I eat nachos because it's a bad day, it's like, can I eat anything I want and keep my weight off? Yes. Should I eat anything I want at any moment I want it? No. Sometimes I have to say, like, I know you really want them and you love them. Stuff. Tonight's not the night. Hey, we'll do it on Saturday. And it's like kind of like with you with dairy. I think you have this big story. Like, you shouldn't want them because you have an allergy and you have like potential cancer. And it's like, what is wrong with me? Because I still want it. It's like, you're a human. It's just like, I had a friend whose kid had a peanut allergy. He could not have peanut butter. He couldn't even get on an airplane where peanuts were served. Like,
That's hard.
before he got on the plane, they had to be a peanut-free airplane. Like, if they gave peanuts, and you can do that. Like, you can say, I'm flying a peanut allergy. They will remove peanuts from the plane just to make sure you're not exposed. And this kid had never even tasted a peanut. Guess what he wanted at the age of 10? Some peanut butter because
Did he
everybody
really?
else got to eat it. But would you look at a 10-year-old child with a severe peanut allergy and be like, what is wrong with you? You know they're not good for you. You could die. Like, I can't believe you even want them. You wouldn't look at him and do that. So don't look at yourself and do that either. You're just normal and you're human.
That brings me to tears. You're absolutely right. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Tell Daphne I said hello.
I
Is there anything else you
will.
need help with? Or is that like enough to kind of get you to the next stage of like, just like, I just need compassion for myself instead of a beat down?
Yeah, no, I think one thing that Daphne and I have, she's been really helping me a lot with lately is telling the other side of the story. And I think that's what you did. I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, do I need a more help with anything? I need a lot of help with a lot of stuff. No, I'm, yeah, it was kind of interesting because I went into this weekend, and I was going to write my plan. I never wrote a plan this weekend, which was, to be frank, I'm disappointed in myself just because I've been working on that and just neutralizing my plan. So that was kind of frustrating to me, because I can't seem to get my act together where I go away for a weekend and I write a plan.
So why are you disappointed that you didn't write a plan?
Yeah, that I didn't write a plan, that I
All right,
didn't
so
write.
that's fine. I think that's normal disappointment. I plan like disappointment to me is an amazing feeling. We want to be disappointed in ourselves, y'all. Like, literally, if like, let's say your kid came home with straight F's. Do you want him to be proud as fuck? Or do you want him to be disappointed a little bit? Like, oh wow.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, sometimes disappointment is an indicator we're not showing up how we really want to show up. But this is what I think happens. I don't know if you, let's explore real quick. I didn't make a plan. I'm disappointed that I didn't do that. What do you make it mean that you didn't plan after you said you would?
Well, I catastrophize. I think I go, oh, here goes again. I'm going on this like girls' weekend, and traditionally we overeat, and Here I have evidence that I didn't intentionally eat. I don't think I ate dairy, but I might have had cross contamination.
Wait a
Like
minute.
something happened.
No, that's you. That's before. I want you to
Okay.
Listen to my question.
Okay.
You come home and you're like, shit, I was going to make a plan. I didn't do it. I said I would. And you're like disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
That's normal. Now, we're disappointed. We realize we didn't make a plan. What do you make it mean that you didn't make a plan?
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking back, like, that means what about me?
I don't know if I'm actually saying to myself I'm a failure. I don't think I'm going that deep. I think I've done enough work to not say that. But I think I'm, yeah, but I think I'm probably, yeah, I think I am saying, oh, here, I'm a bad planner.
Well, just really check in because you might actually have a great thought. I really want you to think about this. The fact is, I'm disappointed that I didn't make a plan. That's normal. But I make it mean this about me, that I didn't do what I said I would do this weekend.
Yeah, yes. I was disappointed in myself because Daphne really suggested that I spent time journaling about how I was going to show up. The one we talked all about, like the end feeling, like I wanted to feel connected to my friends. I didn't want to be thinking about the, I didn't want to, at the end, I just wanted to feel connected to my friends. I didn't want to feel like, oh, I had eaten all this food. And I actually do feel like I felt connected and I wasn't obsessing
about. So you got what you
food.
Wanted out of the weekend.
That's true. I did. Yeah.
Okay. But is there anything else? Because it doesn't sound like it. I think disappointment is great.
Okay.
Because what it indicates is I want different for myself. I didn't
That's
do what
right.
I said I would do. I don't particularly like that. Like that, all of you, don't try to erase those thoughts.
Okay.
Those are like, it's good to know. Because what you don't want to do is just be like, well, I didn't say what I was going to do. Oh, well. Because what we don't want to do is just be like dismissive.
Yes.
The alternative is also dismissive. Now, where I want, the only reason I was trying to parcel this out, this is not your problem, but this is what I see very often. People will say, I was disappointed in myself. And they're not actually disappointed. They're ashamed of themselves. They're hard on themselves in another way. So it's like, I'm disappointed I didn't do this. And I also am thinking, you're never going to lose weight. You should have done better. Like, you know, like they're just like, rah, 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 rah. And then they're feeling intensity around it. And when there's like shame and they're making it mean all these awful things about them, here's what they don't do. They don't figure out how to do differently next time. When you're just disappointed, it's really easiest to get curious because disappointment doesn't feel awful. Most of the time, people are confusing disappointment with shame, disappointment with like hopelessness. But you're not doing that, so I'm not worried about you.
Okay, because I did say one thought that I did say to myself in my drive home was, okay, actually good to know. And next time, spend time on Thursday or Friday before you go making your plan for the rest of the weekend instead of like relying on Saturday morning, get up and doing it. Do it like Friday, Saturday, Sunday on Thursday.
Exactly. So that's where
maybe I'm in the
goes
good
right.
Place.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Where disappointment
Perfect.
Goes right. It
okay.
Like, disappointment doesn't feel great, but it allows you to learn. But shame and hopelessness and a beatdown. Well, now we got to work on our self-worth. Now we got to separate out that this isn't as big of a catastrophe as we thought. Like, then we have to work on all that before we can even get to what we might do differently next time.
Okay. So I think for myself, like going on, it seems like the narrative has to be, you know, just really being cognizant of the other side of the story. Like the dairy, like I like the dairy, like I like to eat healthy, but I like the dairy or I like the sweets. That's all part of who I am. Like that's part of my tastes and that's fine. Cause I think I get discouraged. I maintain, like I maintained, I never lost actually. And then last year I gained 20 pounds. And so now I'm working those 20 pounds off. I'm 10 pounds down.
Okay.
So my goal until for January is to get 12 pounds down. But then I have another like, gosh, 40 to lose. You know, it's just I it seems overwhelming to me.
Right. So
But
stop thinking about all the weight you have to lose.
okay.
Like you have plenty of time to lose 12 pounds by January.
Okay.
The one of the things I've been working on in Project U is I don't let them think more than what do I need to do to lose a pound this week?
Okay. Okay.
Because people do get overwhelmed. They start thinking about all the things. And you like if you think about all the weight you have to lose, it's like, yeah, and you probably better never eat any dairy. You
I
better have no
know.
urges for it either because you know that's a slippery slope for you. Like it just
Yes.
triggers all this, like all of a sudden, it's like, if this is a big fucking problem to solve. And it's like,
Yes.
look, if all we got to do is lose a pound this week, what the fuck we need to do?
Okay. That's
Deal with an urge
so
if it comes
helpful.
up.
Yep.
Stop it enough. I think you could
Okay.
do that. Don't like sit,
Yep.
don't have one overeat and make it into a day-long affair of this was terrible. I might as well eat all the fucking shit.
Yep.
like
Yep.
then you can get really tactical.
Yes. Okay. I love that. I love that. Okay.
Yeah.
Tactical. Yeah. Okay.
Have
Thank you.
Daphne listen to this call. I think she's still in the member. She may still be in the membership. If
I
she's
think
not,
she
don't worry about
is.
it. But I
Okay.
believe she is. But have her listen to this call. And that way
Okay.
she can hear the coaching that I did. And then she can just pick right up where I left off.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Corinne. What a huge treat for me.
All righty. Thank
All
you.
right. Thanks. Bye now.
Bye. All right, y'all. That's it for today. We will see y'all next month, Legacy members. Y'all have a good one. I am officially done coaching for the day. Bye, y'all.